July 6 to 12, compiled by Dave Humphrey from the archived newspapers held at the Cranbrook History Center and Archives. 1918. Wardner News. Miss Ella Dow, former teacher at the Wardner School, left Sunday for her home at Creston, where she will spend her summer holidays. Miss Dow will be greatly missed among her many friends here, and she will always be thought of by her scholars as one of Wardner's best and most loved teachers. Moy News. Miss C.M. Keir, principal of Moy Public School, was last Thursday evening presented by the pupils of the entrance class with a handsome gold watch bracelet. Fort Steele News. John Dubek, an Austrian, was fined $50, or 1 month's imprisonment, for failing to report as an alien enemy. The fine was paid. He was also fined $50 for not registering. He was also forced to pay $10 a day for 10 days, the time elapsed since registration day. Constable Walsh arrested W.E. Richards on Saturday for carrying firearms without a license. Richards was fined $5 and rifle confiscated by R.L.T. Galbraith. Edward Turgeon, a French-Canadian, was arrested as a defaulter under the Military Service Act and was turned over to the military authorities. Wild Horse Accident. An accident happened at the Gamble Mining Company's workings at Wild Horse. Two men named Chalander and Gardiner were working at the diggings when the bank caved in, half burying Gardiner and throwing Chalander some distance. Chalander was not hurt, but Gardiner is suffering from bad cuts about the head and one of his ears is almost torn off. Found. Wong Chong has found his pup, which he advertised in the Herald last week. It went for joyride in a motor car. Bachelors. Top shirts, underclothing and socks mended, and collar mending, a speciality. Mary Isabel Butler, seamstress. Southwest corner of Clark Avenue and Lewis Street. Fisher's return. Vic Feldhausen, Herb Hendon and George Sinclair spent 3 days on a fishing trip up at the Big Sand in Mud Creek. They report the fishing fine and the mosquitoes very scarce. First Nations get together. The big First Nations pow-wow on Tobacco Plains last week was not the success anticipated by the men who engineered the 6 days go-as-you-please fandango. No Prairie First Nations were allowed to attend, and only the Kootenays, flatheads from around Kalispell, and a few Shuswaps from the Windermere Valley were in attendance, and instead of 1,000 there were only 200. They were all camped near Edwards Lake, west of the village, north of the cow pasture pool links, commonly called golf. On Dominion Day, with Canadian, American, and British flags flying, the festivities started, introducing the various dances, such as war, feast and potlatch dances, roping and riding outlaw horses, wrestling on horseback, pony races and full-dress parades dazzling with gorgeousness, stupefying and miraculous in their revelation of beauty. Several tribal weddings took place and the happy bride's resplendent costumes and surpassing beauty would make Lillian Russell look like a Swede cook. The full-dress parade led by Chiefs Three Weasels, Lone Bear Sky Eagle and Bear Shield, followed by minor chiefs and young braves, their wives and children, magnificent, radiant, resplendent with glittering beads of all the colors in the rainbow and some colors never seen in the rainbow. Silks, satins and painted buckskin, would make the famous Bradley Martin Ball in New York look like a cotton shower at a laborer's wedding in Fernie's old town. To describe these costumes would beggar the English language and the human imagination falls faint and feeble before the Herculean task. Eagle Feather and Princess Fly Up the Creek had charge of the 10 bridesmaids, real live flower-bearing fairies, from the different reserves, and the wedding dance started the different drummers writing home about it. The dance is the dominant feature of First Nation. He is born, baptized, married and dies amid the jumble of shuffling feet. Charlie is acknowledged by Milt Kastner, the popular insurance man, and others, to be the best dancer on the Tobacco Plains, while Standing Cloud and Shooting Star divide honors as the champion tom-tom soloists in the Kootenay Valley. They were without doubt a happy bunch, and Jim Thistlebeak says that happiness dispels gloom as the sun dispels darkness. Their stock of supplies would have made the Canada Food Board green with envy. They had everything from wienerwurst to sauerkraut, although there was not a German amongst the lot, and the spread would make an old Roman feast look like a Fernie spaghetti. Vermicelli spread and Jim Thistlebeak sang in Chinook that patriotic ballad, entitled, Meet Me at the Coke Ovens, Where the Pickled Onions Bloom, End of Tether. We have now got to the end of our tether. All the newstype in the office is set up and the linotype repairs have not yet arrived. We intended to tell how the Baptist and Presbyterian kids enjoyed their picnics. The special services in the churches to which all are invited. How the Presbyterians and Methodists turned down church union. The struggle the Kootenay Presbytery had with his satanic majesty. The notables registered at Cranbrook's leading hotels and other prominent visitors. The many auto-touring parties who made a pleasant stop over at Cranbrook and other interesting items too numerous to mention, but Nuff said, you know the reason for this hodgepodge. Real nuggets. Mayor Clapp had something tied up in his hanky that he was showing to his friends. What have you got there, Mr. Mayor? Inquired the Herald. Gold in chunks, was the reply, and sure enough he had, nuggets washed out of the Gamble property on Wild Horse Creek. Rod and Gun Club. The Cranbrook Rod and Gun Club held a meeting in the council chamber of the City Hall on Tuesday evening, which was a largely attended and very enthusiastic one, with Mayor Clapp, president, in the chair. It was decided to stock Premier, St. Mary's, Moy and Deep Lakes. Other lakes will receive further consideration. A committee consisting of F. Dizal, G.O. Hogarth and E.T. Cooper was appointed to arrange for trucks and transportation of the 200,000 landlocked salmon fry to the various lakes. Resolutions were passed touching various matters to be submitted to the Game Conservation Board that meets on July 29 at the coast. We will publish the resolutions next week. It was decided to give the official notices of future meetings to the members through the Herald instead of notifying each member by card. It was also decided that all members be requested to notify the secretary in writing as to how many shotgun shells they would require for the coming season and that the secretary have a notice published to that effect in the Herald. School prize giving. The Lord Bishop of Kootenay, patron of King Edward's School, gave away the prizes for the half-year's work at the closing exercises. There were present, besides the principal and scholars, Mrs. Charrington, Mrs. Van Brom, Madame de la Crousey, Miss Rumsey, Miss Davison and the Reverend F. V. Harrison. Miss Charrington expressed her pleasure in receiving the bishop for the first time in the history of the school at a formal prize giving. The bishop then addressed the pupils, reminding them that character is the secret of a nation's well-being, and that religion is the foundation of character, also pointing out the growing importance of women, their work and an influence. After his address, his lordship presented the following prizes. To Joyce Hallamore, Dorothy Holmes, Noah Pownell, Doris Lee, Chester Roberts, Jack Brown and Gordon McNabb for terms work each of them having gained 75% of the total marks. His lordship, expressing a wish to judge of some of the children's accomplishments, Noah Pownell gave a solo on the piano. Patricia McDermott and Marguerite Caven exhibited two of their dances. The senior singing class sang, Oh, Wert Thou in the Cauld Blast? And the juniors, the Canadian Boat Song. After three hearty cheers for his lordship, the children dispersed. The Herald will come out on time. You can bank on this statement. When preparing your ad copy, kindly remember, Mr. Businessman, that the Herald don't come out anymore on Saturday or Monday or Tuesday, and if you want to have a business talk with the thousands of Herald readers, you will have to put your copy in the hands at the business manager not later than Wednesday noon, and if you have a long talk, we will require it earlier than that to ensure publication. We close up the forms at 6 o'clock sharp on Thursday afternoon, and the devil himself can't open them when they are once closed. City Council. The regular monthly meeting of the City Council was held on Monday evening. The tender of W.E. Worden to remove the old Kenny livery barn and clean up the lots for $15 was accepted. It was decided to collect a license from every public hall of $5 a day or $75 a year. It was ordered that 300 cards of welcome to returned soldiers be printed for the use of the Ladies Auxiliary of the CWVA. The fire committee was instructed to report on the quantity and condition of the fire hose and report if any more is needed.